Blog Talk Radio.
This is Rusty. Hello, hello, hello. Good evening, good afternoon, and good Anya to all of you. I apologize. I'm running a couple of minutes late. I have some technical difficulties. Chloe and I are on the road, and we stopped at a local donut place to try to utilize the Wi-Fi, and for some reason, we just couldn't get it connected quite fast enough. So I do apologize about that. And today, I have some sad news. The sad news is because I have not had enough sponsorships come in, the show will only be a half an hour long. And that's the sad news until sponsorships come in. Sunday nights and Wednesdays will be half an hour long. But I know the sponsorships will be coming in soon, so I'm not overly worried about it. But definitely feel free to, you know, sponsor me. You can go to www.dreambroadcast.com and go to the sponsorship page, pick it out. It's anywhere from a dollar to $2 bazillion. You have your packages there, and living and thriving going. I'd appreciate that. Out of over 200,000 listeners on an international level, I'm sure if everybody donated a dollar, we could go back to the hour show. So I know that because we can't chat as long as we used to, I wanted to bring Karen on right away. She is a humorist. She is a thriver. She is, I believe, a reverend as well. Again, I'm driving, so I'm trying to pull out from my memory all of the wonderful things that she does. But she was so intriguing that I had to have her on the show. And without further ado, Karen, are you out there?
I am. Hi.
Hello, my dear. Finally, we get to chit-chat. I have your face on my desktop, so I get to see your face every day. And I'm like, oh, great, living and thriving. But today has been one of those blockbusters. I haven't been home in 48 hours.
Wow.
We're on our way home. So give us a little bit of who you are and what you do.
Well, I am an author, a speaker, inspirational humorist. I speak at conferences and retreats and conventions, and I'm in the hope business. I'm into inspiring and uplifting other people, especially women, you know, with comedy and storytelling and demonstration and props. And, you know, and I consider myself a professional encourager, Rusty, you know, to help other people, you know, gain the hope and courage that they need to not just live, but to thrive.
Amen. See, you're a perfect candidate for our show because we're all about living and thriving, and we're all about putting, you know, our best foot forward, even if we scrape our knees and bump our toes. So
you bet.
This is where you learn how to do that. So what did you want to be when you were a little girl?
You know, I did want to be, I wanted to be bigger, and I wanted to be older because I was such a skinny little peanut, and I was so bullied because of that. And I finally grew up, and I think it's kind of a common story that I survived through humor. And, you know, and so it's a thrill, you know, starting at a very young age, 3 or 4, the first time that I made a room full of grown-ups laugh, I was hooked, you know, and that's what I wanted to do. So I grew up, you know, alone, but I grew up, you know, studying, you know, Bob Hope and Carol Burnett and Dick Van Dyke and studying
Carol
all
Burnett
those,
was one of my
you
favorites.
Know, yeah. Yeah, and I, of course, I Love Lucy, you know, so, so that's what I always, you know, wanted to do, but didn't really have a passion and a purpose, that came many decades later, and without that passion and purpose, you know, it kind of lacked some direction.
Okay, so explain.
Well, like a lot of people, you know, I was misdiagnosed for over a year. I went in for the hospital for a routine hysterectomy and, you know, expected that cute little bikini cut, but instead woke up a couple days and nights later and was told that they found stage 3C ovarian cancer. And, wow, you know, I'm a health nut, and I didn't expect that at all. and I needed to live another, 30 years at least. And I really was shocked at how decades of faith and positive attitude were just chipped away. And I was really down for the count. I had to learn that it's not what happens to me in life, but how I respond, and that that's a choice, that I could either respond with fear or I could respond by coming out swinging and fighting and not giving up.
I'm all about being scrappy. I'm all about not giving up. There's no point.
Yep.
That's unrealistic, I think, is the whole giving up process. So what did you do before you were discovered that, you had cancer, stage 3, frightening? Were you always a comedian?
My professional background's in broadcasting. I was a former on-air TV news reporter in Los Angeles, and also did some work in radio and radio news. And I went into the college classroom. I was a college professor for over 20 years teaching broadcasting arts and also teaching speech communication. And during those decades, I also spoke on business topics, teaching people how to attract the news media or personality profile, things that are very useful but also fun and entertaining topics. And in my classroom, of course, I had a captive audience, so we had a lot of fun.
Right.
We got the work done, and they got their grade on their transcript. But we also had, also had a lot of fun. And what I found is that, that our life experiences are not wasted. All that background in working with people and in front of an audience and so forth, and training other speakers, it all went together to help me grow as a communicator, whether it is television, radio, or in person in front of others.
Very cool. So we'll fast forward a little bit, because unfortunately we're not an hour anymore. I'm sure you heard. But where can people find you? This is a great place for us to kind of get to know where we can find your books and your motivational circuit.
Well, the best way is my website, Jana, J-A-N-A, and Flag, FLAIG.com, JanaFlag.com, and it gives a lot of information there, and you can go to the contact page and click on that cute little email me button, and we can be in touch. My book, Fight Fear and Foster Faith, gives practical tips to knock out fear that can discourage us and rob us of hope, as we face difficult circumstances or life's challenges. And that's available at Amazon.com and in the UK, India, and the trunk of my car.
I love it, in the trunk of your car. That's
yeah.
Great. So I had an author on once who actually, he's from the UK, and he was flying home for a visit, and he decided to put his book in the newsstand just to see what would happen. And he sat across from the newsstand and watched to see if anybody would pick up his book.
That's a great idea. I'm traveling to out of state to a couple of conferences in a couple of months. I think I'll try that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's a great idea.
So tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, the book, I describe it as the book is encouragement wrapped in humor. And it's for anyone who needs to be uplifted or inspired to fight fear and not surrender to it. And I'm talking about the fear that comes with a challenge, whether it's a life change, a career change, a life change, or more of a hardship like divorce, job loss, foreclosure. In my case, it was illness. Or any difficult circumstance, a lot of times along with that comes fear. And the fear can overwhelm you, rob your hope, and threaten to, defeat you. And so the book is about providing some practical tips to come against fear and fight fear. And I talk about three basic important strategies that anybody can use. It's all learned behavior that we can use to help to dissipate that fear and, go over the fence on the side of hope.
And I find that really heartwarming and extremely needed. I know myself, I have lived a very long life, and it's had its trials and tribulations. And 4 years ago, I divorced and left my ex-husband. It's been turbulent ever since. And so stories like yours are, I just think we need to hear more of them. So give us an idea. You wrote the book because of the experience of the cancer. Is that what I'm to understand?
You know, I did. I didn't have anyone go before me that I knew of that went before me in the process. And so one of the ways that I'm giving back is to help other people, I have a trademark phrase, been there, got the wig. It's trademarked. Been
yes,
there, got
beautiful.
The wig. And it's but that could apply beyond, much beyond cancer. It could be been there
right.
for divorce or been there for
right.
for, you know, bankruptcy or whatever. You know, when you're going through that trouble, you want to talk to someone who's been there and has gone before you and can give you some support and tips and encouragement that, hey, I know it really stinks right now, but you can make it, and this is a valley you're going through. It's not permanent, and just keep going. And one of the Winston Churchill quotes I love, he said, when you're going through hell, keep going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's what shapes us to be this miraculous, walking hypocrisy, dichotomy, loving species is, I think humans are so fascinating because of how we either pave the trail for other people like you're doing and I'm doing and people in our field, or we make the trail. So I think there's two kinds of people. There are people that are really out there running and trying to gather up as many like people as possible and encouraging them and supporting them and educating them. And then there are the people that are actually out there experiencing the beginning process, and those are the people that we're actually gathering. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, and that's why, you know, that's why your show is such a blessing, and like you said, it's so needed. We're on the same page. You know, I've met women that say, you know, I thought I'd go through this alone. I didn't realize I needed somebody else. And so,
right.
you know, it makes such a difference that when you're going through something, you know, you want more, you need more than sympathy. You need empathy, somebody that really understands, and you can have a meltdown and say, oh, my gosh, you know, this is so terrible, and you know, how do you get through this? How do you find the hope to get through this? And then we can say, you know, I did it, you can do it. You know, we're not saying it's easy, like you just get
right.
up one day and you've got a positive attitude and your situation still stinks. But there are steps that we can take to focus on the light at the end of the tunnel and not, you know, poor me, and play the victim card.
And I'm all about owning and being respectful and responsible for what's going on with you. If you're pissed off, be pissed off. Don't be pissed off forever. You know, 10 minutes will do. Get out of that self-perpetuating place. But experience it. Own it. Understand it. If you want to scream, scream. If you want to cry, cry. These are all important emotions to experience and understand. And the best part about that, just like a seed coming from the ground growing, is and the seed pod has to crack. Those are the cracks. That's how you're growing. When you feel and experience and understand and deal with those emotions, that's when you know what's real.
That's
right.
Right. It sure does. Yeah, it sure doesn't help to deny that it's there, whether it's a divorce or whether, you know, denying that I had cancer cells inside of me. You know, it is what it is. And so, you know, giving yourself permission to have a meltdown, to be angry or sad
mm-hmm.
or whatever, I agree with you. That's a real important part. So I'm not at all saying, oh, you know, just be happy even though your world's falling apart. But like you said, there's a time for that. And then, you know, I think people consciously make a choice. Am I going to let this, you know, totally ruin me and give up? Or am I going to fight? And I'm going to fight to maybe reinvent myself. But I'm going to live and I'm going to thrive.
Amen. So that whole reinvention process, I hate that this only being a half an hour, by the way. So the whole reinvention process, talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, a little bit that what I talk about is, you know, to reinvent yourself. If you're going to kind of, if you don't have a positive attitude, or if you have one and you want to maintain it, there are some things you can do. For example, hang out with positive people, because hope is contagious.
That's a big one.
Yeah, and you want to hang out with people. Maybe your challenge is that you're changing careers, or you're retired, and now you want to, you know, you want to be an entrepreneur or something. Go for your dream. You want to hang out with people that share your vision and share your passion and are going to support you, and not the naysayers that are going to say, "Why are you going to do that? You can't do that." Or, you know, you want to avoid the negative people and avoid their comments, because their little comments can get inside your brain and cause the seed, planting the seeds of fear. And
right.
So the rule is, the tip is, don't walk away from negative people. Run.
I love it. Just run away from them. They're cooties.
Yep.
Banish them.
That's right.
One of the things that I feel is important, and I just want to preface and pull us back, because I know that you probably believe the same way I do. The naysayers are actually huge tools in your box of cutlery. I think that the value of having somebody check you. As I've grown older and wiser, I find that I don't need to have them hanging out in my life or being a part of, but when they do say a naysaying thing, it strikes me as kind of a check, like, wake up, is this true? What do you think?
Let me check that I understand what you're saying. So if someone says, if they're a naysayer, that there might be some truth in it, or it's for us to check ourselves, or...
Right. So, say that you wanted to dye your hair purple.
And I have. Who told you?
I'm not surprised. So if somebody says, oh, my God, it's ridiculous, why would you want to do that? You automatically will do one of three things. You'll either get angry, you'll get defensive, or you'll sit back and try to understand what they're saying and how it's applicable to you as an individual. I think that's a maturity thing where somebody will be a naysayer, and as we're growing, we're defensive, we're angry, we're resentful, or all of those emotions are perfectly normal. But as we mature through our own personal journeys, we start realizing that this person's checking, they're a check for me to take pause and make sure that my goals, my thoughts are actually realistic and I'm passionate enough to carry forward. Because if one naysayer is going to rip that rug out from under you, you're not passionate enough about whatever it is that you're doing, right?
That's right. And they may not understand it. They may not get it at all. But what I would do is consider the source. As you were speaking and giving that example, I pictured a negative person that's in my life. And so if she were to say that, I would tune it out and ignore it, because I know she's negative about everything and doesn't want anyone else to succeed. Oh yeah, I think there's one in every family. I think it's a government issue or something. But if it's my BFF I trust, I will run something by her and I'll say, you know, I'm thinking about doing my hair purple. What do you think? And I trust her to say, hey, you know what, go for it. If you don't like it, you can change it tomorrow. Or she might say, now, Jana, and when she says that and talks to me that way, I know she's going to rebuke me, and I hate it when she does that, but you know what, I love it when she does that, because sometimes I need someone. So I think it's the source, that when it comes from someone I trust, who I know really knows me, and understands my passion and motivation. But when it really comes down and if we disagree, I go with my gut.
Well, I think she would, you know, she's your BFF for a reason. When we finally find our BFF, they are definitely our yin and yang. And yang. And that's why they're our BFF.
That's
Talk to us, quickly about you had your surgery, you were diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. Is there anything in that particular part of the story that you want to share with everybody?
Well, it's not about cancer, because it could be anybody's hardship, which could be, you know, could be losing their home or anything else that's
okay.
Just a major hit in their life, you know, a major trauma. It's about the fear, and it's about not giving in to fear. And I've learned a lot about that, about, you know, maintaining a positive attitude, avoiding negative people, and countering negative thoughts like, oh, the economy's so bad, you'll never get a job. Or why are you trying to open your own business now? This isn't the time. Well, you don't repeat it, and you don't eat it and feed on it, and you don't meditate on those negative thoughts. And then also I counter the negative thoughts with positive statements. So in my case, when people say, oh, you're in remission, which means cancer-free right now, but it has the connotation that it could come back any time. And so I will say, no, I'm not in remission.
I'm
healed.
Period.
Yeah, I'm healed, exactly. And it's not coming back. Or I know the economy is bad, but you know what? I'm gonna redo my resume and knock on the doors, and I will get a job. You know, so you know, that's an important. That's the lesson that I learned. I had to believe me. I felt like, you know, giving up. You know, it was very discouraging to be so weak and so out of control, having no control. But I had. That's why I said that it's a choice. It's not what happens to us in life, but do we decide, hey, I'm going to live through this, not just live and not just survive, but I'm going to thrive, and you know, and I'm going to program my heart and my mind and my spirit for victory and not defeat. And so that's what I chose to do, and that's what I want to share with other people, that you know, that they don't have to give up, that they can, you know, they can fight it, and it's their choice. It doesn't mean that their situation isn't terrible, but they can choose how they go through that experience.
And I think it's beautiful. There have been times, you know, I was recently in the last year diagnosed again with precancerous cells in my cervix. This will be my third time. And I was like, okay, not a big deal. The first time I was devastated. Second time I was mildly devastated. This time I'm like, whatever. Yeah, it's not gonna. It's whatever, and it's not to minimize the situation or to say
right.
That it's just I'm not owning it, and it's not owning me. It's gonna go away. I'm good with that. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing to ensure that
right.
I'm not gonna have to worry about it being anything more. And people tend to be shocked with my ease with things. And it's because I've been there and I've done that so many times that, you know, what difference does it really, really make in the long run, as long as I'm doing the best that I can,
yes.
putting one foot forward, being as positive, loving, and giving and open to receiving as I possibly can, nothing else really matters.
Right.
And that is a very hard attitude for a lot of people to connect to or understand. A lot of people consume themselves with doubt and limiting beliefs and all of this negativity stuff. It's even on our TV. I mean, we're constantly surrounded with it.
Yeah.
What would cause you and I are similar sisters from the same class. Just a little bit about strategies in regards to dealing with adversity and how to really have that attitude of, you know what, I'm doing the best that I can do, and that's all I can focus on right now.
Right. And we already talked about maintaining a positive attitude and avoiding
right.
the negative. Another strategy is to program your heart or your spirit, your mind, for victory and not defeat. And we do that not only by monitoring the negative things that we take in. Like I didn't watch any news. I didn't watch any negative dramatic programs. I only watch comedies and funny movies every night and to lift my spirit. And also the third part is to add humor to our daily routine whenever and wherever possible. And so, you know, what we say is so important. The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who say they can rise above their circumstances and those who say they can't, guess what? They're both right. So it's kind of a self-fulfilling, self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, that words are like vessels. They can contain fear or faith. And fear, I found fear is the reverse of faith. And so when I thought of it that way, like a prize fighter in training, that my own words were programming, because when you speak it, you hear it and you take it in. And it was programming my own heart for victory or defeat. And so I started talking survival, and I started talking thriving instead of, oh, yeah, boy, everyone dies of ovarian cancer, which is not accurate, but it feels that way when you're in the hospital bed.
So this is a great time as we're winding down for the last couple of minutes of the show. Where can we find your information, Janet?
Well, the website's the best place, Jana, J-A-N-A, flag, FLAIG.com. And we can communicate through the website. There's a lot of information there and video clips and appearance schedules and so forth. So that's really the best contact, JanaFlag.com.
Yay, that's very exciting. So in the last bit of the show, I would really like to delve into, out of the 200,000 people that listen to the show, what is the one message that you would love for them to take away from today, from you, from your story?
You know, the one message is that, you know, to not let fear defeat you, jump in the ring, fight fear. It is what it is. What is it? Whatever situation you're in it. Whatever you've got, you've got it. It is what it is, but you don't have to let the fear that comes along with it defeat you. So I'd say jump into the ring, put on your big girl boxing gloves and fight fear, and don't let fear keep you from living life to the fullest. You know, don't surrender and don't just survive, but thrive.
Amen. Amen. And I love that you have such a positive attitude. And I love how you've been able to reinvent yourself on many levels and inspire other people to do so. So everybody go out, visit my friend Janet Flagg, see what she's all about. She's pretty amazing. Now, do I understand as well that you're a reverend? Is that correct?
No, I'm not. But I'm
a
Christian, and I have faith in God that God will use my story for good and use it to inspire and encourage and uplift other people.
Did you start a women's Christian group?
Been There, Got the Wig. Excuse me. Been There, Got the Wig is a small group of women chemo buddies, and we meet for camaraderie, conversation, and comfort food. And it's for women undergoing or about to start any treatment for any kind of cancer. And it is positive, upbeat, and faith-based. We thank God for every day. We celebrate life. We celebrate breakfast. It's the Been There, Got the Wig Breakfast Club.
Okay, that's what it was, and that was the connection. I couldn't remember. Mm-hmm. I knew you had done something in regards to that. Excellent. The timer is saying that we have a little bit more time, so that's good. Last Sunday night, it actually shut the show down in the middle of the interview, so I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. You know, another tip, too,
yeah.
I was going to say, another tip is, you know, things I do differently now is I celebrate every day. I wear my good clothes every day. I don't save them for good. I don't save them for when I feel better. I don't save them for some special occasion. I try to wear my good clothes every day. And I also decided that I'm going to let myself order dessert whenever I want. So I have made some changes through this experience that are upbeat, positive. And every day that I put on my eye makeup, I thank God that today I have eyebrows and eyelashes, which were taken away from chemo. Today I have eyelashes. So I just have little celebrations every day.
Was the process long for you?
What was that?
Was the process from finding out that you had stage 3 cancer to writing the book, was that a long period of time, or?
Well, I was misdiagnosed for over a year. Once they opened me up and they discovered the cancer, and then I had 5-6 months of chemotherapy, and then followed by another operation using the same large cut from the pelvic bone all the way up between my ribs and over 80 staples. Mm-hmm. And so when I woke up in the hospital, I got a pen and paper, and I started writing jokes, and I started writing stories for my speech presentation. I'm a speaker first.
Right.
And then it wasn't until 2011 that I sat down to write the book, and I had hesitated because I didn't want to have to relive the scary part. I didn't want to have to relive the painful part. Finally, I sat down and did that, and I'm so glad that I did. I mean, women come up to me in the grocery store crying and say, thank you for writing the book, you know, and they don't, you know, it's not everybody with cancer, so they just have some other challenge in their life. So the process took a few years. The actual writing of the book was about a year, but those were 12-hour days and not eating or cooking. So the good news is I lost 7 pounds.
Of a year.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I mean, by it's called BIC, butt in chair, just by having my butt in the chair and writing every day. My family was not happy with me. Dinner time, they'd say, what's for dinner? I go, oh, I don't know. So order a pizza again.
Yay. That's great. All right. So you had BIC for about a year. You wrote the book. And I'm sure the emotional levels for you were shocked and sad and angry and tired and lacked that feeling of being able to be independent, yet you turned out to be this scrappy humorist. What was that translation for you? Was it really
the worst part of it? Of course I was physically hurting, but the worst part of it, Rusty, was lack of control, because I'm a control freak. I'm used to micromanaging my family's life, but in a good way, and, helping everybody else thrive, and so all of a sudden, I'm in a rented hospital bed for a month at home, and I can't do anything for myself or anybody else. And so I really got down to it, and one day I told my husband, you know what really hurts more than anything is the lack of control. I'm going to live or I'm going to die, but I can't do anything about it except, like you said earlier, do what I'm told to do and do what the doctors say. You know, but I had no control. I couldn't speed it up. I couldn't speed it up and heal faster and so forth. So that was very difficult for me. And being the giver, it was hard for me to sit and have people help me.
I think the inner megalomaniac definitely tapered down in that situation for you. I know from my personal circumstances, relating to the divorce and the tumultuous last 4 years, there's nothing I can do to move forward, but what I can do to move forward. In the first year and a half, I was amazingly not dealing with it well because I, too, am a control freak. But that inner megalomaniac, my inner control just gave up and quit, packed his bags, and moved on out. And I find that through that experience, less of that stuff matters to me. Did you have your inner megalomaniac move out too, or?
Well, I think what you just said, you know, that it doesn't matter anymore, one of the gifts of going through the hardship, and there are gifts in a hardship. We don't always recognize them at the time, and that is that I don't sweat the small stuff anymore, and when things are tough, or my husband and I we're experiencing a difficult situation in our family, we can say, you know what, this situation really stinks, but it's not cancer. And so it puts it's like a new reference point or measuring stick, but the translation is we don't sweat the small stuff anymore. You know, I mean, this is not cancer. This is just a little bump in the road, whatever it is. And so, you know, so in that way, I've given up a lot. I've given up a lot of control and have, really focused more on on the joy of the journey, on the joy of every life.
Very cool. You are my heroine. I'm so glad that we finally were able to connect, even on a short-term basis. I have a feeling we could talk for a very long time. You're very, you translate over the airwaves as a very grounded, humbled, and yet fun spirit. So I'm grateful to have you.
Thank you. Wonderful. Well, I'm so excited to join you today, and let's keep in touch, Rusty.
Absolutely. So I am going to ask you to come back this fall and talk to us again and talk to us a little bit more about your journey, because I think you have a lot to say, and 45 minutes or so is not enough time ever, but it's as long as we have. So Jana Flagg, go visit her, JANNAFLAIG.com.
Just one N. Just one N.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
J-A-N-A. J-A-N-A. And you got the other right, F-L-A-I-G.
Yay. I got half of it
right.
Good job.
Thank you.
So many blessings to you and yours. And I'll have Karen circle around with you again to have you on again this fall.
Wonderful. Excited.
All right, Jana. Thank you so much.
Bye.
So as always, here in Living and Thriving, our aim and our goal is to reach out and find as many wonderful people on this planet who have lived and thrived and can talk to you, the listeners, about their stories and the positive outlooks and even the ugly stuff, which does, even if it's ugly, it does turn out to be quite beautiful. And Jana is just another one of those angels sent down to experience and then translate and teach and help heal. So I'm grateful for her, and I'm grateful for you. I love, love, love what I do, and I love this journey, and I love being able to walk this path with you and bring all of these exciting people to you. So definitely, you know, go out and help sponsor Living and Thriving, and I'm grateful. Ask your friends. Pass it on, RustyMacDonald.com, and check out the sponsorship page so that we can have this every day. I have guests up until 2015, so we just need the sponsorship. Until Wednesday, you are listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I love you. You're beautiful. You mean the world to me. And I look forward to talking to you on Wednesday. Have a good day.